He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live, as always, from San Leandro, California. Today is Friday, February 8th, 2013. I tell you, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. Lots of stuff, lots of events happening this weekend, especially if you are in my area. Stay tuned for that. I have that announcement coming up later on in the show. Got DDP in the chat room. How you doing, DDP? Blog Talk Radio, by the way, is on iTunes and other sources. If you're listening to us that way, or if you're like other people on Blog Talk Radio that somehow, I don't know how you guys are doing it, you other Blog Talk Radio hosts, have been able to listen to other Blog Talk Radio shows. Blog Talk Radio shows are listening to Blog Talk Radio shows in your car. I don't know how that's possible, what that is. If you're on iTunes or on any other device, if you're driving, ignore this part of the show. But if you're on any other devices and you're not in the chat room, get off those devices and listen to us. Join us in the chat room. You can still listen to the show. DDP is all alone. He needs help. Oh, man, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, the Super Bowl this past Sunday was, in the moment, a trickery play. In the moment, those things happened. Also, did it go down like the way you wanted it to? And are you ready for baseball? Like I said, I have a baseball announcement coming up during the show. Plus, I think that, you know, 2 weeks ago on the show when Steve Austin and The Rock were, you know, messing with each other and calling each other out, it looked like Steve Austin had the last laugh. Because he asked for his music to be played mixed with the intro that you just heard. And The Rock was still talking, but he got interrupted, and he never called in last week. But you never know. And well, he thinks that The Rock was too scared to call in, so we'll see what happens. And also, today, it also looked like another favorite person, played by my good friend Matt Broderick. He does a real good impersonation of John Laurinaitis. We'll see what happens today, ladies and gentlemen. Just a lot going on, really. Seriously, a lot going on today. You know, I mean, hey, and also, categorizing and putting things in place is one thing. Trying to act like it's all part of the show like you don't know about it, well, trust me, there's an old, old audio clip that I have prepared for us to take us down this journey of being in the moment. Now, whether all the other stuff that I mentioned happens today on the show or not, we're going to find that out. We really will. We'd like to welcome guest 4013 into the chat room. Let's get into the football first, because it is a big, big deal. A big deal. It's the biggest deal that has ever crapped the world of the NFL. It's pathetic. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. I know everybody that I've talked to, because I live here in California, we're not that, we're kind of, you know, far from San Francisco, but they're only across the bridge. Think of it as New Jersey and, you know, Kansas and all these other places where you're in one state, but if you literally cross the bridge over, just like Mississippi, and you're literally in another state, it's kind of like that for us here. Our cities are not that far away, yet there's a big, huge, huge bridge, and they're about to build the bigger one to replace the old one. If you live here in my area, you know what I'm talking about. But that's the only thing that separates these two cities here in California. But almost everybody, doesn't matter what side of California you were on, or even if you were at the Silver Dome for the Super Bowl, if you were there in person, I congratulate you. You got to be part of it when the lights went out. that was the untactable thing that was not supposed to happen, but it did, because, hey, everybody said, well, you know, how did that happen? My dad even told me this week when I went to visit him and the family for dinner. He's like, well, that how the hell did that happen? That's not supposed to happen. They said they have backup generators and all this. I said, well, Dad, these things happen. It just, I don't know. But what everybody does know and what everybody does believe, and you're going to hear about it today, speaking of our title, In the Moment, you can thank the one guy, the stupid son of a bitch, that really, really screwed everything up for his own organization. The boss was there this week, and of course, I'm talking about Roger Goodell. Yes, I'm talking about Roger Goodell. These things had taken place so bad, he was willing to end the whole game. And he did. Not only that, Joe Flacco, in the third quarter, you're going to hear about it. If you haven't been on Yahoo, or if you haven't seen the viral video that's all over the internet this week, as it says in the description that I put in there, all the stories that you're going to hear, including our top of the line in about 30 minutes or so, our top news stories for wrestling stories, they're true. I'd like to welcome guest 4037 into the chat room. All the stories that you're about to hear are 100% true, but back to the Joe Flacco story that I mentioned just a minute ago. If you did not see what Joe Flacco did in the third quarter, you were probably like, the hell is he laughing at? The hell is going on here? But, you know, the NFL, like I said, everybody's still upset that, because everybody feels weird. Ladies and gentlemen, all of you in the chat room, DDP, I know you feel weird because you get this stitch in your body and you're like, the hell? That was way too early. Well, yeah, the NFL is going to keep the Super Bowl between January, February, or March now. They like these early additions that they came up with ever since they locked everybody out 2 years ago. Remember that? Stupid fucking ridiculous crap. But here's what happened. Here's what Joe Flacco was doing on the sideline. Let's get into this. it's a good thing that Joe Flacco has made himself into an elite and soon to be very highly paid quarterback, because Baltimore Ravens signal caller and Super Bowl MVP needs a lot of work, especially if he wants to be a special teams coach. That's what he looked like in the third quarter. But then you fast forward to the fourth quarter, and he did it again. Now, if you were watching this on TV, you were probably like, what the heck is he doing with his damn fingers? What the hell? Because he jumped off the sideline. I'm surprised that the referees didn't, you know, be like, wait, wait, wait. You're not on the field. This is not your play. Get off the field. But I think everybody knew what was happening. Because with 4 seconds left in the Super Bowl, San Francisco 49ers return man Ted Jr. was ready to accept a free kick from Baltimore punter Sam Koch. It was only one play after he took an intentional safety to give Baltimore a better chance of pinning the 49ers back on their side of the field. It also made the score 34-31, and the Ravens were very much aware of Ginn's return skills. As a matter of fact, Flacco was telling teammates on the sidelines, this is where everybody was like, my friends were like, what the heck is he doing with his fingers? What is he pointing at? This is what he was doing. True story. It's a true story. It's right here. Flacco was telling his teammates on the sideline to go onto the field and tackle Ginn if the speedster that he is got beyond the Ravens return coverage team. Ginn returned the ball for only 31 yards, though, from the San Francisco's 19-yard line to midfield, saving referee Jerome Boger, by the way, who did not, under any circumstances, have a great Super Bowl himself. We'll talk about that, too, if we get into it. From having to deal with what would have been the weirdest play in Super Bowl history. Because the NFL film sound FX program caught the drama for posterity. And here's what the sound of an NFL FX program picked up. You know, these NFL microphones are so great. This is what was happening with 4 seconds left. Flacco says, he asked John Harbaugh, are we going to win this? From the sideline. Yeah, the game's over. We cover this kick. Harbaugh responded. Then Flacco says, we don't make it easy, do we, coach? No, we don't, he said. And this part of the audio clip that the NFL Films picked up is Flacco talking to Pitta, one of his teammates. He said, hey, Pitta, hey, if he starts to break the tackle, go tackle him. Don't allow him to cross the line of scrimmage. And Piotr was like, what? Really? Flacco was stunned that he actually answered him. So he said, I don't know. I mean, what else can they say? They might be able to give them a touchdown on that. I don't know. I don't know. He was flush with enthusiasm over his new tackling tactic, then went around and tried to get other teammates on his side. Hey, hey, hey. Remember, the NFL Films microphones are still picking this up. If he breaks the tackle, if he busts through the line for some reason, tackle him. Go tackle him. And he even said to Special Guard Marshall Yanda and center Matt Brick, I don't know what the rule on that is, but... And, of course, Yanda said, well, you're the quarterback, shit. Why don't you? Flacco's like, jokingly laughing. Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to tackle him. Well, he didn't have to, and it's a good thing. Under the rules, Boger could have awarded the 49ers a touchdown anyway. Because pool rule section 12, article 3 of the NFL rules manual, it says, pay powerfully, unfair act, a player or substitute player shall not interfere with play by any act which is playable unfair. The penalty for this is the offender may be disqualified, meaning the Ravens would have automatically got points taken off the board. And you're probably like, what? No. No, it's true. It's in the rule book. The referee then, after consulting his crew, is allowed to enforce any and such distance penalty as they consider equitable and irrespective of any other specified code penalty. The referee then may award a full 5 times the score of the original score. Meaning, because let's go back to this. You talk about in the moment. This was the Ravens' way of celebrating their early morning, you know, contention, so to speak, Super Bowl victory. But if they had done this, and if they would have got penalized, then in this case, the 49ers would have automatically gotten tied. It would have been 34-34 had this whole thing happened. So imagine that, after a 34-minute blackout in the Silver Dome and a series of very questionable calls on both sides, because Bogger, who is a mediocre official at best, would have been left to decide who won the Super Bowl based on his own discretion. Yeah, right. But then again, in theory, it's true, because in football, there is a history of such infractions and actions. Remember in 2010, New York Jets strength and conditioning coach Sal Ozzie came from the sidelines and tripped Miami cornerback Nolan Carroll during a punt return by Jets receiver D'Antonio Holmes. The Jets did end up suspending him for that for the rest of the season. They also fined Sal $25,000 and eventually sent him on his merry way. And in the 1954 Cotton Bowl, Alabama's Tommy Lewis came off the sideline to tackle Rice running back Dick Meagle. Lewis wasn't punished in white the same way he and Meagle were invited to appear on the Ed Silverman show back in the 50s. But let's go back to present time where we are now. Flacco, for his part, already had an appearance on David Letterman's show in the old Ed Sullivan Theater. Kind of coincidence, don't you think? And he almost gave Dave a lot more to talk about than just the Super Bowl itself. What that basically means is that, we got coffee in the chat room. Coffee said it's not really elite. And he doesn't deserve anything he gets. Well, Coffee, you just have to think that. Think logistically, what if this was to actually truthfully happen? Like I said, the NFL rules state clearly that if anything was captured by the NFL officials, then instead of it being 34-31, the player who, let's say that Flacco did run onto the field when it's not his time to be on the field, and what if he was to just, you know, shove down or tackle a 49ers player for no reason at all, they would have automatically given the Niners 5 points. And it would have been 34-34 with 4 seconds left. And you know what else would have happened? I'm telling you, this is a big story. We would have went into overtime. Probably would have had another blackout. For 34 minutes, the Silver Dome goes dark. And nobody knew what to do. I mean, oh, and by the way, if you had DirecTV or Dish, your chances of actually, or of even watching the game, were kind of pissing you off, weren't they? I know they were, because I was at my friend Ray's house, damn it. And I tell you, the reception kept cutting in and out. Before the pregame, when they had interviewed John and Jim Harbaugh's parents, his mom and dad were up there, and I wanted to hear the interview. But you know what, Coffee? You know what, guest 4013 and DDP? I couldn't. My friend's reception kept cutting out. He's like, it's a damn reception. I'm like, well, goddammit, fix it. He's like, no, I can't do anything about it. He's like, I'm going to try to. So he went on his roof and, you know, 30 minutes after the game had started, it worked fine the rest of the time. We had no more problems with it. But damn, I was like, damn, I missed the interview. Yes, Coffee, I know. Trent Dilfer showed that with the very same team. But this would have been a tragedy. But it was already a tragedy. And you know why? Here's the truth, the other true story about this in-the-moment stuff. Because clearly, even though I'm not a 49ers fan, I'm a Raiders fan. Coffee damn well knows this. I saw that Facebook crap that you didn't like. It's too bad. That's my team. But but anyways, you know, I will give Jim Harbaugh credit because with 35 seconds on the clock in the fourth quarter, the Baltimore Ravens had tripped up Daniel Michaels, who was trying to catch the ball, and he caught the ball halfway down the field. Here comes one of the Ravens players. One of them got his feet, the other one trying to hold on to him. Then he starts grabbing his arm, which was, and I will admit this, it was clearly, clearly holding. But the clock just kept going up and up and up, and they didn't stop the clock. It kept going, and then you see Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines jumping up and down with his hand holding his arm, just, you know, symbolizing that, hey, there was a holding. Where's the flag? Where's the flag? Where's the call? Come on, ref. It's holding. He was clearly holding. But you know why the referees ignored that? You know why? The head referee didn't stop the clock, didn't do anything about it? Because of Roger Goodell. He was there in person. You saw him before the game. He was up there in the skybox sitting with 9-year-old Samantha Cleem. You know that little Samantha, the same Samantha that I played the audio clip of back in September. She's an awesome little football player. She's not afraid to tackle anyone, and she's not afraid to take tackles. But he was sitting up there with her enjoying the game with her. Because you saw him stand up and, you know, because somebody had came down and it was in the third quarter and somebody had showed him, you know, I guess he had somebody to get him a drink and get the little girl, Samantha, a drink. Since she's a popular football star for being 9 years old. Then you saw them again. The camera showed them again during the blackout. And this time he looked very, very serious when two of his associates came down and they were talking for a long, long time. And Samantha doesn't care. She's like, well, it's his job to run the NFL. I'm his number one guest here. I'm the one everyone's supposed to look at, you know, because she's 9 years old. She doesn't care what the hell's going on. This was a 10-minute conversation. Within those 10 minutes that the cameras were on him, you know what he was saying? You know what? This game has been going on far too long. Far too long. Now, for all you wrestling fans in the chat room, because you know that's what we do too. We're going to get into that a little later on. But think of it like this. You know how... Just think of what Roger Goodell did and what Vince McMahon did in the Montreal Screwjob. When he told the referee to inadvertently ring the bell... For no reason at all, without Bret Hart even knowing what was happening. Well, it's the same thing that happened in the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. We've got everybody in the chat room now. I love it. That's what he did. Within those 10 minutes that the cameras were on him, when the lights were out, that's what he told them. Get word to the officials downstairs. I don't care what happens in this game. This game has gone on for far too long because we had to waste an extra 30 minutes. And then he reminded them again with 1 minute on the clock of play in the fourth quarter. But Jim Harbaugh's down there screaming that there's a holding penalty. I know. He can take that up with me. Remember, I'm the one that hires everybody, including these referees. But why wasn't that play reviewed? Everybody says, why? Why? Well, stop asking the question why, because you know what the question is. You know the answer to the question. This is something that the head referee is going to have to deal with, and more importantly, something that Roger Goodell is going to have to deal with, because this is his problem. He said, he even said last week, I want the NFL's biggest party, the Super Bowl, to end on a high note. He did the same thing in the pregame show. Because they had interviewed him hours before the Super Bowl when nobody was in the arena. It was just him and the ESPN guys. And they said, what do you expect to see? How friendly have the people of New Orleans been? Remember that story I ran last week when I told you all that there are photos of different restaurants that have his picture on it that show that they don't want him anywhere near their restaurants in New Orleans. Nobody in New Orleans wanted him there. You know what he said, though, at the pregame show before the game even started? He's like, oh, the people here in New Orleans are great. Welcoming me, coming up to me, shaking my hand. Everybody's been so generous here. Mr. Goodell, you stupid son of a bitch. Who are you trying to fool? That would be like you walking up to Coffee. What are you going to do? Lie and tell the world? Oh, this guy named Coffee, he shook my hand. He welcomed me into his city. When clearly Coffee had the picture of you on his door saying, do not enter. Coffee, I was just using that for illustration, but you all get the point. DDP's like, wow. But to me, that's the problem. Everything that he said in the pregame show, number one, he lied about everybody welcoming him, that people were so honest with him. That's bullshit number one. Bullshit number two was when he said it again. Today, the Super Bowl, we have a huge, huge way of ending this show. We're going to do it our way. You talk about somebody who's so conceited to live in the moment. This was his in-the-moment moment. He found a way to do that, and he used the opportunity that when they did not call the holding penalty, because people up, everybody's like, well, what about the call from the upstairs office? Well, those are Roger Goodell's executive pals, you know. That's why nobody from the upstairs office said, we're not going to review the play. We've been told not to. And they didn't. They weren't going to. I can't believe this, but... So, what do you think? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you. You have to make your own judgment. Just like when people went to go vote for our president back in November. Everybody said the same thing. I heard different church people say it, church leaders, city officials, elected officials that were saying, go vote. But that's all we're going to say about politics. We're not going to go any further than politics because we're not going to tell you who to vote for. That's not our job to tell you. That's up to you. So I'm telling you right now, just like they did in November, I can't tell you fans whether to think whether the Niners were screwed or not. I know they were. Most of the world would probably agree with me. But I can't force everyone to make that decision with me. You all evidently have to make that decision on your own. Should the play have been reviewed? Yes. Was there illegitimate reason for Roger Goodell to end this game that could have easily went into overtime? No. and you say, wait a minute, why did you pick no? Aren't you in clear favor, Matt, of a fair game? Yes, I am, but... I mean, come on. They were not stopping the clock. The play clock kept going and going and going. And Jim Harbaugh knew that, too. That's why he kept looking at the clock, at the same time jumping up and down, going, hey, hey, where's the call? Where's the call? There's a holding penalty, ref. Come on. And you saw the referee walk by past him and go, nope. And you know the other thing that NFL Films picked up? They picked up the side judge and the line judge referee because the head referee left right after the game. He bolted. He ran off the field because he knew what he had done. But you know what the other two officials told Jim Harbaugh? Come on, where's the call? I know the game's over. The game clock stopped, but damn, come on. Let's review this for a minute. They both told him right to his face. After he hugged his brother, he went back to them, and you saw them looking at him, and they walked away too. Because you know what they told him? We don't know what you're talking about. He's like, what? That's come on, you're joking, right? That's bullshit. You don't know what I'm talking about. No, Jim, we don't know what you're talking about. Back off if you know what's good for you. Because officials, this is the only bad thing about referees, is that when they're out there, they think they're all high and mighty just because they have the power. They warned Jim even after the game had stopped, after the play was over, after he had hugged his brother. And everybody said, well, how come John and Jim didn't, you know, talk about that play right then and there? They're not going to. They're going to talk about that shit off camera, behind the scenes. Coffee, yeah, I know you didn't vote. Well, you got the next 4 years to decide again. Well, you didn't watch the Super Bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, one more thing before we go to commercial break. Now, I know for a fact that some of my Northern California friends told me, we're going to be listening to the show, Matt. We're going to be checking it out. Well, I think three of my friends, the other six people probably won't care about this announcement, but ladies and gentlemen, since those of you that are in my area are listening right now, I just have to say, I'm excited about tomorrow. Baseball season is right around the corner, and to start the festivities, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in my area, go to San Francisco tomorrow. I'm going to drive over there. Yeah, $5 for the damn toll now. Actually, $6. Damn, everything costs money, coffee. Everything costs money. DDP, you know that they raised our milk prices here in California to $2 extra? California sucks. But not if you're a big baseball fan like me. The Giants are having their big fan fest all day tomorrow. It starts promptly at 10 a.m. Yes, my California friends, 10 a.m. I'm leaving at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I was going to take public transportation, take the little train that goes under the bridge, then walk there, but I don't know. I may be driving out there. If I do, I'll have to call my friend later tonight and see if he still wants to go. But that's what's happening tomorrow. Yeah. Giants Fan Fest. And I told you all last year that I was so flabbergasted by what happened to me because, well, there was still... Actually, I kind of felt like I was screwed last week by the people who were representing the employees there. There was still 5 minutes left. Quick story before we go to commercial break. There was still 5 minutes left at the autograph line. They have face painting on the field. They have all this stuff. You can do interactive interviews with the players, which is what I'm going to try to do tomorrow. I'm going to try to go to that table. They had you know, the trophy table where you can see the Giants 2010 trophy and 2012 trophy as well. Dominant. There's so much stuff you can walk around AT&T Park in, but they have this big long line for the autograph to get your autograph. I took a big poster with me, the Giants poster. I wanted it signed and autographed by Matt Cain, Sergio Romo, and, well, Brian Wilson. But the lady comes up and she's like, oh, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, this is closed. We were like, what? The hell are you talking about? Well, it's 3 o'clock, but this free event is over at 3. I said, I know that, but there are still 5 minutes left. She's like, well, they told us to shut it down. I'm like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Damn. That's why I'm leaving early tomorrow. Number one, if I do end up driving out there, I got to get my ass to parking lot A. Free parking in parking lot A. Coffee, don't even start laughing. I'm not trying to park anywhere else in San Francisco. I'm not trying to get a fat ticket. Besides, I can't afford it. Anyway, we've got more to come right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
The hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today. And yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty, says. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Can't see. Yeah, I'm out with me. Just I need it right now. Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
Yes, and we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. It's been a great, great show thus far. Man, we've ran down a lot of stuff today. It's not over yet. It's not over. We're going to keep the fun rolling. Going to keep the funny stories rolling, too, I tell you. And, you know, and as I said before the commercial break about, you know, the audio clip that I played 2 weeks ago and everything, ideally, in today's topic, in the moment, there's a special, old audio clip from one of the old days when WWE was the WWF. And I'm going to play that for a very simple reason, to show how in the moment they were when they tried to act all serious about this one particular match. But we'll deal with that later. Right now we got to get into this wrestling news. Check this out. Dixie Carter revealed on Thursday night's Bellator, because she was a special guest on Bellator's MMA After Impact last night, that she had signed Jeff Hardy to a brand new deal that will keep him in the company for a very long time. As you all know, well, most of you, if you don't know, already know, that this coming Sunday, 3 more days and his contract would have lapsed. 3 days from now, this Sunday. And he would have not been able to negotiate or anything. I would have been out of a job. As previously reported, his contract was due to end sometime either this Sunday or later this month. Dixie Carter also hyped King Mo's TNA in-ring debut down the line. Bellator had asked her when is he going to make his debut? And she said, just wait. From him transferring from the MMA world to our world, yeah, you're going to enjoy it. However, she did not include in her interview, because it looked like they were arguing with each other. Maybe they did that for ratings purposes, too. Now, Dixon Carter can be like Vince McMahon, a very shrewd promoter. Because what she failed to mention was that, well, somebody in the interview, one of the interviewers, or even Dixie Carter herself should have said, we don't need to worry about that. We're sharing him. Because what they've done is they're going to allow him to still wrestle for Bellator MMA, but at the same time he'll be a TNA competitor. Kind of interesting. WWE had to change the match lineup for Raw this past Monday night, midway through the show, due to the poll results for CM Punk's opponent. Yeah, trust me, the story gets weirder, but it's true. Chris Jericho won the poll, but WWE had expected Orton to win and ended up switching opponents as a result. This meant that Jericho lost his second match in a row since coming back in order to make Punk look strong, while Orton on the other side beat Barrett once again. Because you know how in the past how they've been, like, every year they've always, you know, tried to, you know, cheat. I just be like, we'll do a pretend internet poll. But they're trying things out. They tested out a real internet poll for WWE.com. And like I just read, you know, they were surprised. They didn't expect, you know, CM Punk to get picked to face Jericho. And Chris Jericho won the initial poll. Because the original plan had Jericho beating Barrett and Punk beating Orton. Well, that goes to show just how honestly bad they stuck at trying to write the stories when their stories come back and bite them on the ass, and that's why they had to change the match lineup. Also, in other WWE news, word is that WWE is already planning for this year's SummerSlam event. The show is scheduled to take place once again in Los Angeles, California, and WWE is looking this time to possibly book a Brock Lesnar versus The Rock match for the show. You gotta be kidding me. Didn't they already face each other 4 years ago at the same event, SummerSlam? I think it was SummerSlam. Lesnar versus The Rock. I'm confused. The reason being that both have mainstream appeal, and that with them in the featured spot, the local Hollywood community could get more involved with the event. Of course, an example here would be having celebrities appearing at the WWE Access event, such as some of the big LA TV shows that are down there, or one of the movies that are filming in LA. You know, The Rock is going to be in 3 movies this year, starting with the one that's going to come out next month. I keep forgetting the name of it. It's all your fault, Coffee. Not just kidding. But it's the one. And this commercial actually made the Super Bowl, Best of Super Bowl commercial ads. By the way, the commercial ads, some of them, like I played last week with that other audio clip, yeah, the ones that I played last week, some of them did get pulled. The one that they kept, though, if you noticed during the Super Bowl, was that racist one. People were still pissed off about that one because it's a very racist, you know, comment that they're making about black people and white people. What is this? The Rosa Parks era? Come on now. Anyway, the official, back what I was saying, that he's in a movie where he's got to save his son. He's going to be in that movie that comes out next month. Then, in 2 more months, he's going to be in G.I. Joe. Then in July, he'll be in, of course, Fast and the Furious Part 6. I can't wait for that movie to come out. The official WWE website recently removed Dawn Marie from its alumni page. Aw, damn it, Vince. You removed the most prettiest, beautiful diva ever. I wonder what their reason for that was. Big Van Vader has been named as the replacement for Terry Funk as Pro Wrestling Syndicated Guest Commissioner during the WrestleMania weekend pay-per-view event. PWS will return Saturday with a doubleheader of events at Mitchaton, New Jersey. The promotion has announced that even with the blizzard warning for the area, they intend to hold both events. Each will be broadcast on iPay-Per-View Television live, also corresponding with a new internet sensation that produces shows such as this. The company is called Highspots, and their website is highspots.com. So, who knows how good they are. You have to check them out and just get ready to see, you know. For more information, check out Pro Wrestling Syndicate, you know, on the internet. That's the only way you're going to find that out. And, yeah, I tell you. It's, very strange that all these things were happening all at once, you know? Now, I told Coffee during the commercial break that I agree with him about the NBA. The NBA hasn't done anything of importance. Well, if they would find another Michael Jordan, which is not going to happen, I don't believe so. But it would be awesome to see how that goes if they do get there. You know what I mean? Oh, boy, I tell you. Well, you know, everybody wants to be in the moment. Everybody wants to get into their spot of being just where they want to be. Because what they have to do is people have to believe, like we're trying to believe right now, that maybe The Rock will call in like he did 2 weeks ago. Maybe Mr. John Laurinaitis will call in. Oh, God. I don't know. Who knows what will happen on this show? Remember, as I always say, not even I know what's going to happen on this show, and I'm supposed to know. I'm the host of the show. I tell you, it's too bad. Well, let's get into Raw. We'll see what took place this week. Well, we all know that Raw was live in the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. Remember the week before they were in Las Vegas? So many things have transpired now with the storylines and getting things to sit right with the fans. And you can't do that if you're trying to create stuff that nobody's going to buy into or even believe. My good friend Matt Broderick is in the chat room. Speaking of believing, he knows all about believing. Thank you, Matt. I will have a good time at that fan fest tomorrow. I can't wait. I can't wait. But, you know, it's very interesting that they had to as you heard me mention in the wrestling news topic, that they had to change a few things. Because they didn't expect that a real poll result, rather than the fake and rigged poll results that we always know happen. This time they used real ones. Ryback versus Antonio Cesaro. You know, Ryback was actually supposed to take on a couple of Atlanta, Georgia jobbers. They didn't want to. They decided, well, we need somebody who's kind of established. We need one of our champions to make Ryback look stronger. And they did because, well, they let Ryback run over Cesaro with a huge clothesline. And Cesaro, you know, did a beautiful, beautiful uppercut to Ryback, and then he jumped out of the ring and act like he's going to leave. But anyways, Ryback is your winner. And all night long, see, this is what I keep talking about. Do they really, I mean, they're on TV for 3 whole damn hours, you guys. Do they really need to keep pushing the whole, everything that they have going? The biggest thing that they promoted this week was the WWE app. Michael Cole was even nice enough, and stupid enough, in my opinion, to actually show you how to download an app. Are you serious? Are you really that stupid, Michael Cole, that you would show the entire world how to download the WWE app? boy. I just cannot wrap my mind around that. See how stuttered I am? I can't wrap my mind around that, Coffee. That you would be, we have a caller on the line, and I don't know who it is. Maybe this is John Laurinaitis. Or it could be The Rock calling in to talk about how disrespected he felt when Steve Austin interrupted him and ended the show 2 weeks ago. If you guys are all here for that. I'm going to get to this caller. I'm kind of afraid to get to this caller because Steve Austin is here. It's just, I don't know who it is, but we'll find out in a minute. But I just think it was still very, very absolutely funny that he's standing there going, this is how you download the app. You see, right there, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you download the app. And Jerry Lawler was kind of agreeing with him, kind of not. Because Jerry Lawler knows how not to look stupid on television. Michael Cole, on the other hand, actually showing the world, this is how you download, what, are we a bunch of couple of fucking 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds? Give me a break. I know how to download an app, but I don't want to download your app. I don't want nothing to do with the W app. I know Coffee won't. Coffee won't be, well, then again, I don't. Hold on. I just have to put that in the chat room for Matt Broderick. But it was just funny. Yeah, Coffee doesn't believe in cell phones and all this technology. Although he is on the internet, as you can see. Well, let me Well, I'm being told in the chat room that Mr. Laurinaitis is on the phone lines, and he has something to say to somebody. I don't know who this is, but, well, I mean, I know it's Mr. John Laurinaitis. Well, if it is Mr. Laurinaitis, personally, Matt Albert does not like you. You suck, and on behalf of the world, I think everybody will applaud me for that one, because nobody likes you. Let's see who's on the phone line. 484, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, man, what's going on? It's Eric.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
Oh, man, just chilling out, just doing a day off here. And I got some breaking news for the show for next week. Breaking news. Next week on the show, it's the rebirth of the UWA segment. And it's actually a milestone. It's 1 month until the first episode of the third season. So we will be having on a cast of characters next week. Dave Swan, president of UWA, contacted me about 10 minutes ago and asked me what the deal with the show, what's still going on, and he had some ideas that he wanted to do. So we will be bringing back UWA on the Sports Opinion Show next Friday. It's usually a few months ago we did it, and we had some issues with some different things. But I'll talk to Matt off the air about some of the things we need to address. We have some things to talk about off air. Just give me a call after you go off the air, and
I will do that.
It's stuff that will be beneficial to the show. But next week we start with the start back up with UWA, and should be good. And it's gonna be interesting. I don't know who we're gonna have on yet, but I'll let you know throughout the week. Check out the Facebook page, Sports Opinions, the Sports Opinion Show Facebook page. We have a page set up on Facebook, so go check that out. But yeah, it's pretty much. That's the breaking news. I'm pretty pumped.
That's good. I'm glad you're pumped. See what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? I'm the host of the show, and I don't even know what the hell's going on. Here we are, just
It's hard. You know, it's crazy because this stuff just comes, you know, straight out of the blue. I mean, I was on Facebook 10 minutes ago when he sent me a message, and I was like, oh, shit, well, let me call in. Gonna have to watch my mouth from now on. I'll talk to you about that, about language, off air. Yeah.
All right.
yeah, it's going to be some new things going on in the sports opinions world. It just happened, so it's breaking news. You know, we had talked about this a while ago, but we didn't really, you know, nothing was really said, you know, in stone. But now, next week, we return, so.
Wow, yeah, okay. Let's see, Matt Broderick, to answer that question, no, I don't think Batista's going to return at the Elimination Chamber.
See, a lot of people are, I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm sorry, but I don't know if you talked about, you know, the whole build-up to WrestleMania, but I'm going to throw it out there. If there's any year for WrestleMania that people aren't talking about rumored matches and rumored scenarios, it's this year. I think there's one or two matches that are rumored, and then everything else is just like, well, this is, we don't know. Like, The Rock, John Cena will either face The Rock or CM Punk. Most likely it's going to be The Rock. I don't see them having John Cena versus CM Punk. I don't see it. But I don't know what they're going to do. And, I mean, do you run Triple H versus Punk? Do you run, you know, Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? Do you do Triple H versus Lesnar and Punk versus Taker? I don't know. I think this year is one of those years where they're kind of just scrapping stuff together. Other than those matches, what are they going to do? They have nothing with Antonio Cesaro. I mean, Wade Barrett and Bo Dallas, I mean, I don't think see them, you know, prolonging that past Elimination Chamber. I think you'll end up seeing them wrestle on the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
I appreciate your thoughts on this, Eric Williams, but and everybody else in the chat room, I'm surprised you or nobody else in the chat room, everybody else is talking about all the other possible things that would go on at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and WrestleMania pay-per-view. But I'm surprised that you or nobody in the chat room, everybody's talking wrestling. They're doing a good job of it, too. I thank you all, DDP and Matt and everyone. Everyone's just doing an awesome job today. You guys, I applaud to all of you. And you too, Eric, but I'm surprised that nobody can spot up the fact that about the one guy that seems to be hidden from all this, and he's the Money in the Bank winner, of course, I'm talking about Dolph Ziggler. Who is he going to be programmed with, because he's got this briefcase? Who's he going to use it on?
Well, the problem is I'm going to say this right now, I don't see him winning, and I said this a few weeks ago on the show. I don't see him winning the belt. I don't think he's I don't think he's ready for it. And I just don't think so. I mean, I heard rumors of him and Jericho possibly at WrestleMania, but who knows? I mean, of course, I'm not going to put him in anything big, but, I mean, you know, other than Ziggler as well, you know, what Sheamus, I mean, Ryback. I mean, the only other thing I could see, like a big type match, and I'll say this now, is somehow do something with Jericho and Ziggler into Elimination Chamber, have Jericho turn heel, and then go into a feud with Ryback into WrestleMania.
That would seem likely. That sounds like a pretty good thing that could happen.
Honestly, I could see that because when Jericho and Goldberg had matches back in the day, I kind of put those matches. You know, I could kind of like image a Jericho Ryback match being somewhat decent and helping Ryback with overness. And I don't know. I mean, it could possibly be something totally different, like, you know, Jericho versus Sheamus or Jericho. I don't, you know. They could totally do something totally out of the blue there, but, I mean, I would like to see, I mean, if you're talking about a tag team match, I mean, it'd be good to see, like, Big Show and Chris Jericho versus Team Hell No at WrestleMania, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either, and Coffee, you have a respectable opinion in the chat room. He said, the WWE roster sucks. Who cares who faces who? It's all going to be terrible.
I disagree. I feel like there's some opportunities with this year's WrestleMania that they could do some good stuff with. The only thing is that they're going to have to work around that the fact that Rock is taking on. You know, but I mean, I'm going to say this right now. I mean, it all depends on what they're going to do with Cena versus Punk. I mean, Cena versus Punk / Rock. I mean, who's Cena going to wrestle? Whatever one that they don't put against Cena is the one that they're going to put against somebody a name. I mean, do you run Brock Lesnar versus The Rock at this one and then leave Punk and Cena? I don't see that being – I feel that being a B main event.
Yeah, it would have to be a B main event. It at some point or – You know, I don't know.
But it's happened. It's happened two or three times on Raw. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not a WrestleMania main event. Like, that's not. And the other thing I'm saying is they're saying that Triple H is going to be a performer at WrestleMania. I mean, honestly, why have him wrestle Lesnar when they just wrestled? And I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't care to see Triple H again. Like, and wrestle Lesnar. Come on, like, put him against somebody else. Put him against. I don't care. Punk. Put him against Punk. You know?
Yeah, well, DDP says he doesn't care about Batista, and Batista returning not going to happen. Which
Batista's
right.
Garbage. Nobody cares about Batista.
He quit the company a long time ago, too. So.
What does he do? He doesn't add anything to the company. He's not a good wrestler. Like, you know, I mean, if we're talking about Randy Orton here, I'd be like, okay, that's whatever, you know. I'd like to see him back, but it's Batista, and he's a pile of garbage, and nobody cannot. When he was with Bobby Reed before, he wasn't anything good. I mean, he was a big guy, but, you know, you can build a big guy, you know.
And Matt, you brought up a good point. He brought up an interesting question in the chat room. Great, great question. So what's going to happen with the Miz? Because just a few years ago, we all remember that Miz headline WrestleMania was involved in some big storylines. Well, I don't know. It seems like they're trying to really build up his character again and have him get back to the top. I mean, he did just, on Raw this week, he had a chair thrown at him.
Maybe an idea that you could run with that is, I mean, with this whole Miz TV thing going down, maybe that's where you put Jericho. Jericho and Miz. Because
yeah.
Jericho has the highlight reel, Miz has Miz TV.
But then again, I think in some form, don't you think that's kind of stupid? Or a TV show TV show between two wrestlers?
But I think it's WrestleMania, and it's something that they would. I could see them doing that, like at a WrestleMania. You know, because WrestleMania, you always have the stars at every at those pay per views. It's in New York. You know, I mean, Jericho gets a pop anywhere he goes, and Miz is just Miz. Honestly, he's not going to keep going with the Antonio Cesaro. That's not going to happen. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to.
It's tough to say where they're going to go and who's going to do what heading into the Chamber pay-per-view.
Maybe on a six-man tag with guys like Miz, Sheamus, and Randy Orton versus The Shield. You know, I could see that happening. That's a possibility. But, like, what about The Big Show? Like, they've been pushing The Big Show big time. I think Mark Henry's going to win. I think Mark Henry's going to win the Elimination Chamber. I think on the SmackDown side of things, you're going to end up seeing, I think Mark Henry's going to somehow get into that Elimination Chamber. And I don't care how, but he returned for a reason. Like, I'm telling you, he's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. I have a feeling. I could see Christian being in the Elimination Chamber. He's supposed to be returning within the next 2 weeks. And R-Truth, you know. I mean, this is just something that that's rumored. I don't even know. I haven't, you know, really read anything newsworthy. I'm just saying, like, you know, I could totally see a Mark Henry, Alberto Del Rio matchup. I mean, a Randy Orton Del Rio matchup. I think I'm going off the fact that Big Show's losing an Elimination Chamber. I don't see him beating Del Rio. You know, I could definitely, and that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too. With the way the Big Show character and gotten to and where he's currently at, I think it helps his character somewhat. But I think he's still missing a few things. I mean, he's a 500-pound giant in storyline terms. In reality, he only weighs 430 pounds.
Right.
But have you noticed he had lost a lot of weight?
Right. He still is a crumbling giant. That with him as a baby, with him as a heel, is kind of stupid. Because he's honestly just really stupid. And they have too many big guys. I mean, that's pretty much the point. But I'm going to say they have way too many big guys with Kane, Big Show, Mark Henry back. Great Ali, you know, all those guys are just big guys. Brodus Clay and Tenzai, which I don't know what they're doing with that, but it's kind of making them, you know.
Well, the only tall guy that they really are using as a babyface foil for the entire world to believe in and get behind is really, you know, I think it's just a mixture of things that are all bad, and the only one that they really have to you have the baby face foil for the world and a great Khali.
Right, right. Well, Kane
still up there dancing and doing all that stuff.
Right. But I don't understand why they can't do something different this year. They feel like, you know, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with everybody being at the top. I mean, Randy Orton, it just seems like they're not using him. Like, they're just putting him in matches. And I don't understand where the point of that doing that is. Like, why don't you just let him go? Like, let him go somewhere.
Yeah, I don't. It seems that way to me, too, because every time, like, for the last few weeks on Raw, they're like, well, Randy Orton can wrestle so-and-so. I'm like, but they just wrestled, like, a year and a half ago. The hell?
Right, it seems like they're using him more as a special attraction. I don't know if they're worried about him. They don't want to put him in something where if he gets caught with drugs, that it and spend him. If they're going to put him at high jeopardy, or if they're just booking him as, you know, as is. I don't understand it. I just don't think that's a good idea to do when you have one of the guys that was a former world champion, multiple time world champion. And you're just putting them in matches with guys that don't even have a spot on the show, and you're putting them against Randy Orton. Like, how does that make any sense?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all, to be honest with you. But what about this newcomer, Bo Dallas? I think he's going to have some you know, maybe get a chance to actually get involved in at least somewhat of a big storyline, because they really, really pushed his name at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And then they used him the following night on Raw, too, and they've been mentioning that name over and over. They're trying to push him.
Right, and I think he's going to get over, but I think the one problem with him is that he's going to have a lot of comparisons to Maven. I mean, the whole thing with dropping, you know, eliminating a guy. I think they kind of tried to reinvent that Maven character, your underdog character, work for.
Yeah.
We're just going to be like, okay, another guy to see, you know, to see lose and, you know, whatever. I mean, let's talk about rise and falls. What happened to Zack Ryder, you know? I mean, that guy went from being, you know, the new in to, it's like having a mullet now, you know?
Yeah, well, all they have him doing now is, they mostly have him concerned and concentrating on these little skits on their YouTube channel. And that's really, really all he's been. And you haven't seen him on TV doing wrestling or doing some kind of comedy skit.
Right,
all they have him doing.
And, like, Alex Riley, too, he's another one that kind of, they don't really do much with him either.
Yeah, Matt Broderick just saying, Steven Richards was awesome. We wish he got a push. Yeah, he should have gotten a push.
He's good. I think now, like, I watched him on Extreme Rising, and he wrestled Luke Cox on Extreme Rising. It was the December show. And honestly, Stevie looks really good. I feel like not him as a serious wrestler is kind of really good. I really like Stevie as a serious wrestler. Not too much character, like a character, but you know, but he was good. He's always been really good. Just now he's really good, and you know, hopefully he's doing well for himself. I mean, he's okay, you know.
Yeah, you know, did you see the latest Extreme Rising show that they did last month? We played the audio clip here a few weeks ago. When he became the Extreme Rising
champion. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That was a good match. Very good. And you saw his little thing with Raven, and how he didn't want to be touched, and told Raven that it's always been about him and doesn't know how to give anybody else credit. I thought that was really, really good what they did backstage. But yeah. One other guy that nobody has even mentioned. What about the Undertaker?
Well, I said that earlier. I don't know what they're going to do, because apparently he's not, like I was saying about him and Lesnar possibly earlier, but and him and Punk. But who knows what they're going to do. I mean, that could be a guy that they could put against Dolph Ziggler. I mean, for all we know.
Exactly. I mean, geez. It's just, you know, you got to have these guys find some way of living in the moment to create their characters and push their characters to better themselves for not just the company, but for the fans. That way, people can get behind them again.
Right.
And I mean, you know, they quickly turned Alberto Del Rio face immediately to compensate for the loss and the suspension of Sin Cara, but you know, Sin Cara's back. This whole Daniel Bryan Kane cop out thing's got to stop sometime too. Very soon, I hope.
I love it. It's so funny.
Yeah, but I mean, it's annoying to hear that almost every day or every other day, mainly on pay-per-views. They did it for, you know, 35 minutes at best at the Royal Rumble. I'm the tag team champion. No, I'm the tag team champion. I'm like, oh, geez. And you got one guy saying no, the other guy saying yes, and the audience getting behind them, and that's fine and all, but what happened to the supposed monster, Kane, who at the time was the supposed brother of The Undertaker? See what I mean? They've completely killed all the old characters that already had legendary status in their name, and now it's like, oh, that never existed. Sheamus is getting a pretty good push, and because they're allowing him to, and fans are getting behind him. Just his match with Kane on Raw this week, it was okay, but it wasn't great. And then, of course, Kane went and blamed Daniel Bryan for the loss. And since, I don't know. Randy Orton beats Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett was up there, remember, doing the whole Nexus deal, and now it's... I don't know.
Right.
So... But the CM Punk Chris Jericho match, that was very, very good. I was very impressed with that. But, you know, I tell you, I don't know why they keep planning things at the last minute. I mean, shoot, it's terrible that they have to plan stuff at the last minute. They need to go back to planning things 3 or 4 days in advance, or, like I've been saying, once they have a set list of what they're going to do and who's going to wrestle who, it's always good to have a backup plan, but not at the last minute. I mean, because that would be like me saying, well, for next week's show, Eric, you're going to wrestle Coffee, but just in case that doesn't work out, in case I want to change that, the backup plan that I have actually written down is, well, Eric's going to end up wrestling DDP. But they don't do that anymore. They just do all this last-minute stuff. And that's what makes the TV shows lack interest. And, I mean, now they're certainly trying to go back to the old way of doing things, trying to rebirth the TV-14 stigma, but without using the TV-14, you know, qualifications, because they just want it to be known as still PG on the TV shows.
Right.
I mean, what would you do in this case, Eric? Would you, if you know you're losing interest and you know nobody's buying your product, because truthfully, that's what's happening. Nobody's buying the productivity anymore. Nobody's buying their T-shirts anymore. People are consumed with their T-shirts and the stuff that they're doing, but nobody sees it as cool anymore.
Nobody's going to see it as cool because we're adults now, and the people that like it are the kids, so we can't really talk about that, you know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
We're adults. Of course we're not going to. We have other stuff to worry about, you know?
But if you didn't have anything else to worry about, would you consider, if this was your show, Eric, your show, would you consider keeping the show at a snail pace? Or would you scratch that up and be like, we're going to change the TV logo back to TV-14. That's our new
rating
once again.
I don't know. I think you keep it with PG. I think you keep it with PG.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, because I think you have to draw, you have to build a market somehow. I mean, we're not going to, you have to keep building. You know, you have to, you know, build your audience up, you know, young, go younger. You know, you have to.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, the problem isn't the rating thing, it's the wrestling sucks. Because honestly, if the wrestling was great and they put on great matches every week, we wouldn't be complaining. The wrestling sucks, and that's what we're complaining. We're complaining because we think by going to 14, I mean, back in the Attitude Era, I mean, it was crappy, but there was still good wrestling, you know? And back in our day, it was cool. We didn't really care about the wrestling. All we care about is the, you know, it is all about the wrestling. It's a wrestling company, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you can't just say, oh, like all these curse words and then expect people to watch it because you're only going to get a certain market. Doing the PG, anybody can watch it. You know, it's a smart business move by Vince. I think Vince is a genius at what he does. And, you know, I think the problem is that they have to meet that perfect match. They have to get, they have to have the perfect, they have to hit the in-between part.
Yeah, but
they have to hit it in, right in the you know, right in the middle. They have to go perfect wrestling and perfect, because honestly, wrestling sucks. I mean, that's why they bring back guys like The Rock, guys like Chris Jericho, guys like Lesnar, because the guys can't cut it. The guys are boring as all, you know, they're boring. They're boring. I mean, you know, you watch matches, and for every 10 matches, you'll get a good match. You know, back in the day, it was every 3 matches, you'll get a good match. Now it's going to every 10, you know. And they have a lot of thrown together random 4-minute matches. I mean, a lot of matches, they caught like 2 matches the other day on Raw, under 5 minutes, you know. I mean, they're just trying to create people, you know, they're trying to create interest. And I guess it's working. They're still in business. They're making money, you know. I mean, WrestleMania sold out within 5 minutes, so I guess they can't complain. At the end of the day, we can say all we want, but, you know, they're doing what works for business, so, you know. I mean, we
yeah,
can put power
even
with, all...
Even with a PG product, I mean, you said it's all about the marketing, right? But they're not...
The problem is that the economy, nobody's going to go out and spend $30 on a T-shirt. Like, that's not going to happen. You know, we're talking about the economy now, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, they don't have any good shirts. I mean, I looked at the shirts, but I just don't – I don't like that they're – it's all about design. Like, we're adults. We're not going to just wear a random, hey, hi, I'm John Cena's number one fan shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
I want something with a cool logo, you know, something cool. No, nobody's going to buy a shirt that says John Cena number one. Like, that might – it might work for a 5-year-old kid, but not for a grown adult. You know.
No, see, that's why I'm upset that I never got my hands on a Nexus T-shirt. Because those were cool.
You can still get them.
Yeah.
On a high spot.
Maybe at a later date. Yeah, but.
What is the chat room saying about this whole conversation we're having?
Well, Matt Broderick said that maybe Bo Daniels could be like Shelton Benjamin, because Benjamin was another guy that never got a push. And he's absolutely right.
But Shelton Benjamin didn't get a push. Shelton Benjamin didn't have no mic skills. He couldn't talk.
Yep.
I mean, Charlie Haas never got pushed. Should we complain about Charlie Haas? No. John Morrison never got a crazy world title. But The Miz did, you know.
Yeah, it's all about what you have and what you can bring to the table if you're good enough. But I think that the problem was when they were doing these tough enough TV competition TV shows, they just wanted people right away without actually taking the time to develop their characters behind the scenes. But I believe if you create something long enough and you practice it, then you will, you know, you'll get there eventually. And thank you, Eric Williams, for the call. That was very awesome of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take our final commercial break. And when we come back, I've got another. I've got that fun old audio clip that I was talking with Matt Broderick about this last night. He knows what I'm talking about. But this audio clip, when we come back after our commercial break, shows that just how good they were back then. And then, of course, right after the audio clip plays, we'll talk about that for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to jump right into TNA, because TNA also has this big epidemic flaw that they don't believe is wrong. But it is. I'm going to tell you about that after we do our thing.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The 5-Tool Show. Karell Cooper and Tanya Mikado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the big dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000-calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Folks, I'm Roger Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. D-Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The 5-Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m. Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
We'll be right back.
now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Coffee says he works. He already works 40 hours a week. 40 hours a week right here on Blog Talk Radio, huh, Coffee? I'd like to welcome all the guests that are in the chat room. 4013, 4614, Matt Broderick, and, of course, DDP. Eric Williams was on the line with us. We thought for sure that The Rock would call in like he did 2 weeks ago. We thought him and Steve Austin were going to have some words, but that did not happen. We thought John Laurinaitis was going to call in too, but that did not happen either. So, all I know is that Eric Williams, you heard him say it on the air, and this is why I always say, I'm the host, and I don't even know what the hell is going on. I should be allowed to know what's going on, but as you heard him say, be here next week. We're having the UWA, the owner of UWA Wrestling on the show next week, along with some of his talented wrestlers. If you want to check out their page, uwaelite.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about In the Moment. Everybody has been in the moment. You heard me mention it about the Super Bowl and how that whole thing went down and how it was a horrendous, horrendous act that everybody, the entire NFL, is going to have to live with what they did. You heard us talk about our possible matchup for WrestleMania and what's going to happen because they're obviously doing last-minute planning. Now let's jump into... Before we jump into TNA, let's jump into this audio clip that shows just how much wrestling has truly, truly changed in the world of sports and entertainment. Check this out.
And the owner of the company just got struck in the face by Steve Austin. I don't know if it was inadvertent. I don't know if it was intentional.
Inadvertent. You think he was swinging a dude glove or something?
All I know is that the owner of this company has not moved since he was struck in the face with that steel chair. I think Austin has really stepped over the line. But the big story here is the welfare of the owner of this company. Struck right in the face with that chair.
He's not moving!
And, Official Gerald Briscoe is talking to Howard Finkel about something here. Man, he's giving Howard the riot act. He's told him to do something.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been disqualified for hitting a WWF official, and the winner of this bout via disqualification, Dude Love.
Gerald Briscoe came over and told ring announcer Howard Finkel. I couldn't see what he was saying, but obviously Howard has repeated it. Briscoe apparently instructed Finkel to make the announcement that Austin has been disqualified for striking a WWF official. And you all, again, we're going to take another look here, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this chair shot. Was it intentional?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think? He may have been swinging a dude well.
Oh, come on, give me a break.
Man. And then we see the stun. And Austin counts his own fall down. The referee has been taken out by Dude. Austin counts his own fall. Austin walks out of here with the WWF title.
Oh, no.
Well, Vince McMahon has had a history, as many follow the game know, of neck problems. He had severe neck surgery, a lot worse than Stone Cold, a couple of years ago. McMahon has not moved his arms or legs that I could see. sits. Now they're turning him over.
Oh, my God.
He still seems to be unconscious here. And I'm sure that he will be, these EMTs here, the ambulance out back, I'm sure he'll be transported to a hospital. Again, you can only speculate how badly injured is the owner of this company. He has not moved. Oh, my gosh. Very serious. I'll be able to hear what Patterson and Briscoe are saying right now. I heard Pat Patterson a few seconds ago screaming, strip him of the title. That could happen. It could happen. It should happen. A lot of... Come on. Come on, JR. Face it. Look at this. I mean, there's the man that owns the company.
Yeah.
Somebody that works for him has just blasted him with a chair. Let's bring it down to a common denominator. Suppose you work at a gas station like most of these morons do, and the boss comes in, and you don't like something that the boss says, you're going to go hit him over the head with a wrench and knock him out? What would you do? You'd be fired immediately.
Well, whether Austin is...
And locked up, too.
Whether Austin is fired or whether he is stripped or whatever, that's for another time. We still have to be concerned about a man who has a family, he owns this company, and whether we agree with all this... At all. Boy, he is still unconscious. This is a very grave situation. The owner of this company struck by the WWF champion. You know there's going to be huge repercussions. Did he or did he not intend to do this? Did Austin, watch this. Was he swinging for Dude or swinging for Vince McMahon? Folks, thank you very much for being with us. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo! Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was from 1998, the Unforgiven pay-per-view. It was the very, very first time in history that Steve Austin had struck someone with a steel chair. He had struck many others before, but he had never attacked Vince McMahon and Dude Love with a steel chair like he did in that match. But at the end of the match, it seemed kind of controversial, at least in the eyes of WWE, that they would do this. I mean, and they were talking about Vince's neck problems and his neck injuries that he'd had before, and then you heard Jerry Lawler extremely cut off JR. Oh no, look, he's in a neck brace. And then at the end of the audio clip, just a few minutes ago, you heard how JR was trying to be serious. They were trying to be in the moment of capturing the audience, because usually up to this point at the end of a pay-per-view or some dramatic scene that happened on Raw or SmackDown, you would hear JR screaming, Stone Cold, Stone Cold! Or he'd be screaming something else, Take God his revenge! But this time was the only time and the only pay-per-view where JR and Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler were extremely sentimental and trying to be vocally serious about the incident that just happened. Who was he swinging at? Was he swinging at Dude Love or was he swinging at Vince McMahon? Only time will tell, and they were trying to figure out and do their own investigation. But this, as we look into this, with, you know, Impact Wrestling, they're trying to accommodate themselves and do their own thing. Rob Van Dam took on Dima Ion versus Kenny King, a triple threat match. Rob Van Dam wins. I mean, and all this stuff about, they're also trying to be in the moment by trying to create their own reasoning behind this. Is they're trying to start something new. But it's actually not new. It's recycled material. You heard me and Eric talk about groups and things that have happened and taken place starting in the mid-90s with the NWO. The New World Order became one of the most fascinating factions to be part of, and we were talking about T-shirt sales. Those T-shirts were cool. You know, because people growing up, the teenagers that I grew up with, it just seemed, you know, kind of dull and stupid at the time. All black and white television, all those TV shows are on black and white television. Coffee, you know, I ain't going to watch no black and white television, you know, that's just not cool. But then the black and white T-shirts that they made became cool. The Nexus T-shirt became cool. All these different groups, and now you have another company that's only been around for 10 years, Impact Wrestling, a.k.a. TNA. Remember, they're trying not to use the TNA name because TNA is actually associated with the NWA. It's represented by the National Wrestling Alliance, and you heard me mention back in September that most companies, they don't want anything to do with the National Wrestling Alliance because it's, well, basically what I just said. All these promoters and all these wrestling companies, ladies and gentlemen, want nothing to do with the National Wrestling Alliance because it's not hip, it's not cool. And, you know, if you were a fan of the original ECW back in the day, Paul Heyman had mentioned, well, the National Wrestling Alliance did this, and they're a bunch of crooks, and blah, blah, blah. And whether that's true or not, it just doesn't make any sense, really. But this is what the world has come to. The world has now turned itself, the world of sports, that is, has turned itself upside down by trying to create things of the past without not being original. You can't start a revolution, which is what this whole world has been trying to do. Oh, the world will revolve and the world will change. The world will get better. I know I'm not being racist about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. What I'm about to say may offend you. It may not. I don't know. Like I told you guys earlier, the choices that we all make are just choices you have to make on your own. So what I'm about to say may offend you, and that's, if it doesn't, then good. It's okay then. If it does offend you, there's nothing I can do about it. You have to make your own choice whether or not you support my opinion or your own opinion. Because what I'm about to say is this, and it's just an example also. Because the world had always tried to say, we need a revolution. We need a new kind of revolution. We need a new era. We need this. We need that. It's always about what we need. And the world years ago thought, the world will get better. You know, we believe that. Yeah, 100%. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, it'll happen when we get a black president in the office. There, I already said it. If that offended you, I'm not sorry because it's my opinion. Now, you're more than welcome to call into the show with 7 minutes left in the show. And I will accept your opinion because, hey, this is a sports opinion show. But that was just for an example, 5 reasons. Because, and everything has transpired. The NFL, let's start there, started as a great, great concept of guys who would fight for a championship with a ball called a football. And ever since then became a phenomenal, phenomenal sport. Up until 1995, when you had these two expert guys that were both trying to play the role and both at the time be NFL commissioners. But then those two guys, they split up and, I don't like you anymore. Well, I don't like you anymore. Well, fine. I'm going to create my own league. It's going to be called the NFC. Well, fine. I'm going to create my own league. It's going to be called the AFC. But then the new commissioner in 1996 decided, well, the AFC and the NFC can come together. We'll just have all the AFC teams on one side, all the NFC teams on this side. But like I said at the top of the show, because the NFL has now become a blistering effect of themselves, they're trying to create something new, something different. But all they've become is a version of the Montreal Screwjob. You may not believe that, but it's true. People have become that version. With Jim Harbaugh using and telling the referees, hey, holding, come on, ref. And then what they told him after the game, you heard me mention it earlier. We don't know what you're talking about, Jim. Now back off. Right now, before I get physical with you. That was their thing. Now we jump from the NFL to WWE. I mean, Jim Harbaugh was still mildly upset about that. WWE's doing over here last-minute planning. Impact Wrestling, after last night, with their new indecisions and all these focal points of trying to rebuild a new thing called the Aces and Eights group. I mean, nobody knows how this is going to work because, while they're doing smart business, the real bad thing about this is that Impact Wrestling, they're smarter than WWE, but they're not smarter when it comes to certain concepts of the world to believe in. And that's why I play that audio clip. Because it's about being serious. You heard that audio clip just a minute ago. Of JR and Jerry Lawler trying to be serious. Because, it was the first time in history that the boss, Vince McMahon, had got struck in the face with a steel chair. But now that I think that now they have to be serious. Both WWE and Impact Wrestling. Because, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you heard me and Eric Williams talking about that. 2 weeks before that, you once again heard us mention it, that, hey, what's going on here? They created the group, and now the group Aces and Eights. The writers have done the unthinkable at the wedding of Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray. Taz becomes the newest and most efficient member of Aces and Eights. And Mike Tenay saying this is not going to be good for business. He's going to destroy people. He is the human suplex machine. Well, all that's true because all of it's real. But the problem with that is he will always be known as Taz, the human suplex machine. The one vile, pissed off son of a bitch. Only problem is the writers should have never put him in there with questionable duties now. What is he going to do? The only thing he can do is, well, cheer the boys on because he can't get physical. He's done with wrestling. He's just done. Will people be in the moment leading up to their own respective pay-per-view for both companies? I hope so. Because that's where most of the world wants to be, but they can't. That's what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. Join us next week. UWA Elite Wrestlers and the president will be with us. See you next week.
Heading to the top rope, and he's in it! Frog flash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yeah! It's champion!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that was like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.